Israeli tanks have taken up more positions within the West Bank. It's an operation Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon says is designed to root out what he calls Yasser Arafat's nest of terror. The action comes in the wake of suicide bombings that killed 125 Israelis last month. Israeli citizens have become increasingly worried about their physical safety. NPR's Julie McCarthy reports from Jerusalem.
Screaming sirens and anti-Arab slogans signal what is becoming a nearly nightly event in Israel. This night, residents of a conservative Jewish neighborhood in Jerusalem pour from their homes to inspect the latest carnage. Monday evening, a suicide bomber detonated an explosive device when a policeman stopped him at a checkpoint to prevent him from entering the more populated center of the city. The sixth bomb in 6 days also killed the policeman. The mood here is a mix of anxiety, curiosity, and anti-Palestinian rage. A 23-year-old law student named Oriette is one of the first on the scene.
And we killed every day! It's crazy! The world is crazy! What's happened?
Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon says the current thrust into the West Bank is to dismantle what he calls a terror infrastructure bent on destroying Israel's way of life. 20,000 reservists are being mobilized. Forty-two-year-old Ilan Hatuka is one of those who's been deployed. Since his emergency call-up last Friday, he has been to the West Bank towns of Ramallah, Bethlehem, and Qalqilya. He waits in the rain on the road to Ramallah for a tow truck to fix a broken tank. This father of three is not at all happy that middle-aged men are being called to the firing line.
I don't have a choice. I have to go. And I hope that all of the politicians are smart enough so that this all ends, so that Palestinians go home safely and we go home safely.
Hatuka, who drives a bus in civilian life, says he has a duty to serve and would not consider, as a number of reservists have, refusing the call-up. Conscientious objectors represent a crack in the facade of unity here, and Hatuka says there is resentment against them. But he also admits to conflicting feelings and being torn between patriotic and paternal instincts. He carries two mobile phones, one exclusively for calls from his 9-year-old daughter, who phones 10 times a day.
Ilan Hatuka.
Ilan.
What up? Hello.
This afternoon, she calls twice in 10 minutes, crying. Hatuka drops his voice as he soothes his young girl and makes false promises to be home soon.
I tell her that I'm not inside, that I'm only like next to things, and that I'm safe, I'm protected. And what I basically do is try to use white lies to try and calm her down a bit.
Away from the front lines, distrust between Israelis and Palestinians has created a siege mentality inside Israel, where people talk openly of their former Arab friends. Jerusalem streets are deserted, and only an intensely secured mall attracts families during this bloody Passover holiday. 46-year-old Pepe Yakarevich says if Israelis lock themselves away at home, those she calls terrorists triumph. She admits that military action has eclipsed diplomacy, but sees no other alternative for the moment.
When you have these daily terrorist attacks, we hold hands very, very tightly. When you're holding hands very tightly, it's very difficult to break that chain and to sort of hold hands for peace.
The legal advisor at Hebrew University, Yakarevich, offers a solution that an increasing number of Israelis endorse during this downward spiral, erecting a barricade around Israel.
On our side, I think we should have some very strong separation between us and the Palestinians and try to take it from there. True peace would only be achieved when you have a new generation born who doesn't feed on hatred.
Reoccupation seems out of the question for most Israelis, and even some Jewish settlers this week said they would be willing to quit the West Bank, just not yet. Leaving now, they say, would signal weakness and could encourage more suicide attacks. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Jerusalem.